Well, good morning. Seriously, good morning. Like, hey, it's cool in here though, right? So we have the air conditioners on. I think my air conditioner hasn't shut off in like 3 days. So even at night, it's crazy. Nevertheless, welcome. If you are here for the first time, my name is Ed Travers, and I'm a teaching pastor here. And like Ryan said, we're really grateful that you're here. The Block Party Game Night, let me just say something about that, and let me tell you why we're doing this. I mentioned this last week that this game night thing, we're going to have 30 people up from Birmingham, Alabama, a church that has partnered with us, Shades Mountain Baptist Church, and they are sending people up just to help us with this event, and they are going to be here all weekend helping out with Fourth Friday and also at the Block Party. And the whole purpose of this thing is that people in the community will come and have a great time. There's going to be a fire truck, and there's going to be food. There's going to be all kinds of great stuff, games for the kids, prizes, and they'll have a blast. But the idea is that, listen, when there are just times when people are out and they're literally, God is trying to work on them, and they think, man, I need to find God. But they're going to turn to a place where they've had a good experience. And what we believe is by doing an event like this, we're going to connect to people out in the community who aren't necessarily connected to God. And when that happens with them, they will look for a place like LifePoint. And if they come in here, we know that the gospel will be presented in this room and back in LifePoint Kids. Gospel has the power to change lives. It has the power to transform marriages. It has the power to literally transform the destiny of someone's entire future. And we believe it's so powerful that we want everyone to connect to God through the gospel. So that's why we're doing this thing. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a blast. So the big ask is that you invite someone this week. So think of people in your neighborhoods, family members, coworkers that would love to come. They have little kids or whatever, or even some older kids. Have them come. It's going to be a blast. So that said, also, if you just came in this week, you came into a series called Adulting, which is eternal life hacks from the book of Proverbs, where every week we're saying the same thing, that the idea of this series is that real wisdom is doing life God's way, right? So a life hack, I didn't know this prior to this series, is it's a type of thing that you might do to make your life more efficient or might make it even better, right? So I've asked you guys to send me life hacks. And this week, I had someone sent me a life hack that I think is worth sharing with y'all. So think you're in the kitchen, and you're trying to make an egg sandwich, okay? Here's the problem. I don't know if you're like me. You put the egg in the little, you know, pan, and it kind of spreads out. And sometimes it gets too thin in some areas and thick in other areas. And sometimes you break the yolk, and sometimes you don't, depending on what you want. But how do you make, like, the perfect egg sandwich so that when you bite into it, perfectly thick egg in all those spots? How do you do that? This is what you do. You take an onion ring, and you put it in there, and you put the egg right in the little fryer. You cook it up, and it starts to look like this. And then you pop it out of there, and you stick it on your sandwich. Boom. Your life just got better. Free. This is what you get every week here at LifePoint. Free things like this. All right, so listen, I was thinking about something this week as I was preparing for this message. So when I was young, I have 5 older siblings. I always had 5 role models. Right? So naturally in my home, I had people I was looking to that I would emulate life from. Like they knew how to ride their bike first. They knew how to, you know, do this or do that. They went to school first. All the things that they did, I was naturally watching them and kind of mimicking their behaviors. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And I learned as I started to grow up which ones were kind of the ones I should pay attention to and which ones I probably should not do what they were doing, right? You just learn these things. You get into school or you get older into your teenage years in high school and you look at people and you think, okay, that's what I'm going to be like. That's what I'm going to do. We naturally look at role models. But here's what I thought all growing up, that as I'm growing up, I always thought when you get older, you'll know what you're doing. What I found is exactly the opposite. In fact, you know, when I got married, I was immediately feeling like, wow, I really could use some help with this. I need people further along in their marriage to help me figure out how to do this. And then, oh my gosh, we had babies. You bring the babies home, and I'm like, I just figured Tammy would know exactly what she's doing because she's a female, right? But she didn't know everything, and I was completely dependent on her because I knew nothing. I thought, man, so we look for role models. Then you get a job, and you're looking for people in your job. I became a pastor. I'm like, I need other pastors who know what they're doing. We really need role models in every area of our life. So what's the life hack for that? How do we pick role models that are going to help us, that are going to give us ways that we can live life God's way? How do we discern And that's what we're really going to look at today. So if you have a Bible, open up to Proverbs 31. We're going to look at this really famous passage. If you've been around church, or if you've read the Bible, then this is the role model for women, Proverbs 31. And I'm going to cover this today. I think it's going to be very helpful. I'm going to cover it in a little bit different way for you guys today, because I think it's going to be applicable not only for ladies, but for men as well. So I'm going to pray for us, and my prayer is that it's going to, you know, impact us. So let's pray together. Father, I believe that there's a purpose for every one of us to be here today, whether we're just passing through or whether this is our home, whether our relationship with you is strong or whether we're just guessing, Lord, that hoping that you like us. Wherever we're at, God, I pray you meet us where we're at. Teach us something about yourself today, God, and teach us something about ourselves, God. Help us to learn what it means to find good role models. We ask that in your son's name, amen. Well, listen, in this series, we've been looking at Proverbs. There's been just a various amount of topics that we've covered. Today, we're going to look at this idea of role models. And in Proverbs, what's happened is that King Solomon, God downloaded wisdom to him that he's sharing with us. And over time, he's literally covering all these topics. And towards the end of the book, he really starts talking about wisdom as if wisdom were a female guiding us. And the first thing I want to say about this one is this. It's in your listening guide. You can follow along in the app if you like. But Proverbs 31 is actually a warning. It's a warning. Look at the first three verses. Here's what it says. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Now, the first thing you got to notice is that these are the words of King Lemuel. And it's his mother who told him this. So a mom of this King Lemuel is saying, listen, king, pay attention to my warning. So who's King Lemuel? Well, this is a problem. If you look through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, or you look through 1 or 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, which literally outlines all the kings of Israel, you're not going to find this name. So then who's King Lemuel? Well, the word Lemuel means the devoted one to God. So it's possible. A lot of people who study scriptures will say that this is actually a nickname for Solomon, that the mother is probably Bathsheba, and the one who's devoted to God was Solomon. So this King Solomon is a nickname. So it's very possible that when we read these words, we're actually listening to what Bathsheba told to this young King Solomon. It's also possible that Solomon is writing an idea, a generality, that there's a mother of a king and trying to, you know, guide this king. Honestly, I don't know which is which. No one can actually prove it. What is absolutely clear, though, is that this is a warning. This is a warning. She's saying, what are you doing, king? What are you doing? Don't give your strength to women who might destroy a king. Now, if it is Bathsheba, Bathsheba would know firsthand what it was like for David. You see, they entered into an adulterous affair, and literally, it destroyed David's life from here on out. God did forgive David, but if you read the story of David, you see from this point forward, from that adulterous affair, it literally caused problems that scarred him for life. So if it is her, she's got reason to give warning. But regardless, this is wisdom from God, and it's a huge warning. And here's what I would say about it. What I've learned about life is that there are two decisions that are the most important decisions you're ever going to make in your life. The first one is this. Will you decide to become a Christ follower? I don't mean, are you a religious person? I don't mean you're a Christian. I mean, do you actually have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know him personally? Has the gospel actually invaded your heart? And do you follow him with your life? That decision will impact your life, not only here, but beyond. It's the most important decision you're ever going to make. But the second most important decision, this is my opinion, whoever you tie yourself to in marriage or in long-term relationship has the impact on your life in ways that no other decision you make does. And what these words are saying is, listen, pay attention. Be careful. This is a warning. And so everything you're going to hear about this Proverbs 31 woman is really a warning to men in the way they view women. That's who this is addressed to. I became a Christ follower really about the time I was 20 or 21. And I knew the information prior, and I would have definitely considered myself a Christian. I just didn't know what it really meant to have a relationship with the Lord. And when that happened for me, my life just started to change. you know, sin that was in my life started to change. The way I spoke started to change. The way I saw other people started to change. And I was really genuinely excited about Christ. And he was changing me. And God put this guy in my life who was kind of a friend of a friend. And he was just a little bit older than I am. But he had this really deep relationship with God. I could tell. So when I got around him, you know, we would talk and he would give me things. He would say, I remember him telling me, listen, Ed, you need to read C.S. Lewis. If you ever read C.S. Lewis's books, I mean, he's an incredible writer. It was a game changer for me. This guy's the one who turned me on to C.S. Lewis. We would talk about how to share your faith. We would talk about how to help people who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. We game planned together on how we were going to come up with ministries that would reach people. And then just like that, he was gone. Gone. Now back then, listen, if you're a young person, let me explain to you. There's no such thing as social media at the time. And you couldn't just call someone or text them. If you didn't have their phone number, they were gone. And this person was gone. I never knew what happened to him. I heard through the vine, through the one friend that we had, that things weren't going well for him. And then when social media came in, I immediately looked him up. I'm like, dude, what's going on? I started noticing his posts were anti-Jesus. Like, how in the world does this guy go from being this guy who I looked up to as a role model to being a guy now that I'm like, wow, he doesn't even care about Jesus? Does anyone want to guess what it is? There was a girl. The girl didn't know the Lord, but he really liked the girl. And he thought, man, maybe I could win her to the Lord. And they started a relationship. And one thing led to another, and she slowly wore him down to the point where his mind started to change, and he just kind of gave up on Jesus. When he gave up on Jesus, his life started to crumble. His relationship completely crumbled. Now they got a kid moving back and forth. His life just went in a completely different direction. Now he struggles with numbing himself from all the stuff that's inside. Listen, this is a warning. It's a warning, really, to young men in the way they see women. And here's what I would say to you. Listen, let's say you're in the room and you're already married. Well, listen, you influence your children. You influence daughters and sons. You're going to be a role model for them. So it's really important that you understand. In the same way, let's say you're a lady and you're thinking, okay, well, if this is written to a man, then why do I need to pay attention? Well, it's obvious. There's some truths here that are really powerful. And if we need role models, this is a great role model to look at. But here's what I'm going to read here in the next like 20 verses. It's this role model of this woman that the king's mom is saying, listen, this is the kind of woman you're looking for. But in reading this, there's all these things that she does, and most of them are completely self-evident. So as I read them, I don't really need to teach through every line. But I want you to pay attention to her character, because character matters, okay? That's what I think the lesson is here in these next 20 verses. But listen up as I kind of read along. Verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands out to the distaff and her hands hold onto the spindle. And she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of the kindness is on her tongue, and she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Now, listen, as you're reading through there, you notice some characteristics of this woman. I noticed a few that I want to mention. The first one is that she's trustworthy, that the way she carries herself, her husband trusts in her, right? He is known at the city gates, Probably why? Because he's able to focus on what he does because he trusts in her to do all that she does. She is resourceful. That's part of the characteristic. She understands her gifting, and she uses that. And what is her gifting? In this particular case, her gifting is she's got a business eye. She not only takes care of her family, but she's able to look at things and go, wow, I could make money out of that. I could do this. I could do this. She takes care of her household. So she's resourceful. She's also caring, that she looks to the hands of the needy. She thinks about other people's well-being. Last week we talked about generosity. This woman is generous. And lastly, the one characteristic I thought of is that she's wise. It says that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What you're seeing in this woman is a life that's lived out of her character. She has this character that somehow God has forged in her life, and you see the results of that. What the queen is saying to this young king is, I want you to notice women of character. Tie yourself to that woman. Don't go to someone who doesn't have character. That's what the warning is. So here's what I would say to the young men in the room, or to fathers who are trying to teach young men. It is really difficult when the whole culture is trying to sell our young guys that the idea of what a wife should be is something that looks like a pinup model, and we're trying to tell our young guys, pay attention to how women live. Pay attention to their character, because character matters more than anything else. And I would say to you ladies in the room, I've noticed this just from watching my two sisters grow up. I've been married for, you know, it'll be 22 years next week. I have two daughters. This is what I notice about ladies. Y'all compare yourselves to each other in really strange ways, ways that guys would never do. My wife will say, oh, did you notice her purse? I'm like, what? Did I notice her purse? No, I didn't notice her purse. Why would I notice her purse? Did you notice how her nails were done? No, I didn't notice her nails. Why would I notice her nails? Like, there are things that you guys do that I'm literally completely clueless to. But you guys compare yourselves all the time. I have never understood why moms compare themselves to other moms. Like, you're a mom. Be the mom in your home. Don't worry about what other moms are doing. If another mom's doing something, great. And learn how to do that. That's great. But you don't compare yourself. And yet, you ladies, you all compare yourselves. In fact, here's what I think most ladies do, from what I've understood, is you look at this passage and you immediately compare yourself to this woman and go, well, I'm not like her. Listen, that's not what this is about. This is an ideal. This is a picture that the queen is painting of what someone of character might look like over a lifetime. And if you take a snapshot of anyone's life, they're never where they're supposed to be, right? If you look in the mirror and you look at who you are, you think, man, I could really get better at this or this or this. So listen, don't compare. This is a lesson about character. God wants you to be a person of character. And I'll tell you why, because we're all role models. We're all role models. I remember when Tammy and I found out we were pregnant, and Tammy, you know, she's changing, right? Her belly starts to grow, and she immediately has this relationship with my daughter that I don't have. In fact, it wasn't even real to me. You know, the idea of being a dad was there, but being a dad really wasn't there for the time that the baby was growing inside Tammy, because Tammy had this like intimate relationship with our daughter already. Like, she's holding her belly and talking to the baby, and she, you know, she's praying over, and her body's changing. So for her, it was really real. And then she can feel the baby move, and she's trying to get me. She goes, listen, put your hand right here. And I'm like, I don't feel anything. And then when I finally felt the baby move, I'm like, wow. And we were jumping up and down. It was kind of great. And the next thing you know, the baby's in the belly, and the stomach like has a foot going like this around the belly. And you're like, what? Then you go to the hospital, and there's labor, and, you know, it's really labor for her. Let's just be honest. And, you know, I'm watching labor, but they bring the baby out, and they put little Abigail in my arms, and, you know, and then I'm in love, right? And it's not love like you fall in love with your wife. You know, we met, we started dating, we were kind of courting, and, you know, all this stuff, and then we choose to love each other. They put the baby in your arms, and you're like, I'm in love. I would literally die for this little child right now. And then you have this relationship with this child, and at first, the first 6 months, honestly, it's just you watching the child, and the child does, like, three things. Y'all know what they are, right? Sleeping, eating, and things. And so, you know, you can start to interact with them and you like make faces. I'll never forget when Abby started to make faces back and I would put a little O mouth and she did. I'm like, she bad. And then I missed her laughing. I was away and Tam goes, you're not going to believe this. Abby laughed. I'm like, what? I missed it. You know, I mean, there's this interaction with your kid. Well, as Carly came along, my second, and now they're 14 and 12, but as Carly came along, I found that sometimes the best thing I could do for Tammy was if Carly was napping, is just to take Abby outside and walk her around the block. So, you know, she and I are developing this relationship where we're talking and we're pointing at stuff, and if we saw a rabbit, oh my gosh, right? Like, this is the interaction you're having with your kid. And this is all it was at this point. This is all I know as a dad, is really just trying to distract, you know, Abby so I can let Tammy get a nap, right? Well, I started to notice that Abby, as she got a little bit older and we would be outside, she started to pay attention to other kids. And she really became enamored with certain kids. In particular, there was this girl who's about 10 years older than Abby. Her name was Kennedy. Kennedy had, I think, 3 or 4 sisters. So she was used to being around younger kids. And when Kennedy would see Abby, she would come up to her and just fawn all over Abby. And of course, Abby just loved it because the big kids paying attention to her. And so, you know, when she would be outside, Kennedy would see her and they would interact. And sometimes she would swing around and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm watching my daughter kind of like idolize this other big kid, right? Well, one day, I think Abby must have been about 4. We're outside and Kennedy comes walking along across the street with a boy. And Abby goes, Kennedy. And Kennedy didn't turn around. She said, Kennedy. Kennedy. And Kennedy didn't turn around. She walked right on by with that boy. And Abby turned around. She looked at me like heartbroken. Like, why didn't she turn around, Daddy? So I lied to her. I said, well, she didn't hear you, honey. I mean, what do you say in that moment? Honestly, Abby, here's the deal. When you're 14, you really believe that if this boy thinks you're valuable, that makes you valuable. And so Kennedy is probably trying to make sure this boy likes her. And in her mind, if she turns around and pays attention to you, then she doesn't have the attention on her from this boy. And she really wants this attention because it's so important to her at 14. And honestly, this 14-year-old kid probably doesn't have a clue about life. And she's desperate to have his attention. So she ignored you because she's desperate to have this clueless boy's attention. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? But at that moment, she wants this role model to pay attention to her, right? And at that moment, I'm realizing, wow, as a dad, I have got to help my kid. I've got to protect her. I've got to find ways for my 2 daughters to grow up and look for good role models. So I knew just then, I'm like, I have got to start affirming qualities, character traits that they will absolutely admire someday. In our house, we talk about how everyone is valuable. We never talk about the way people look. I would never look at some girl with dark skin and long black curly hair and say, wow, look how beautiful she is. Why? Because my kids are pale like me, right? I don't want to tell them something's beautiful that doesn't include them. What we do talk about is, wow, did you see how selfless that little girl was? Did you see how hard she was working? Did you see how kind she was to her friends? When we have people who don't believe what we believe, people who don't act the way we want them to act, we say the same thing. Listen, just because someone acts like that or doesn't believe what we believe, it doesn't make them less valuable. Why? Because I'm trying to drill character into my kids. And as a parent, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what you want? You want opportunities for your kids, but if your kids get opportunities without character, what happens? Right? What we want as parents more than anything else is that our kids would have character. Character matters. So why wouldn't it be that we're trying to help the next generation recognize character in people, and more so for us to live out lives of character? And that's a problem, because I don't know if you're like me, but I'm flawed. And sometimes when I look in the mirror, I think, that was really a bad decision, Ed. And all I can do is go to God and say, God, help me have a different character going forward. Help me. I need God. Lastly, and I think this is key, is that we need to train our eyes to notice great role models. Because it's not the first thing that we see, particularly guys. And remember, this letter is addressed to a guy. Train your eyes to notice great role models. Here's what it says in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Other versions say fleeting. So think it's about you and it's not going to last. So charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So remember, The children rise up and call her blessed, and the husband calls up to try to affirm her, and this is what he says. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Why? Because charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm and beauty, these are things that guys typically notice. That's the way we're wired. We are sight creatures, and we notice these things first. And then I think ladies, this is what I've seen and noticed, is that you catch up on that and then try to appeal to that in order to get something out of that to tell you that you're valuable or to get ahead in life in some way. It's all vanity. And it's not helpful, not long term. In fact, if you set your heart on, I'm going to attract a guy based on how I look, here's what's going to happen. You're going to win a guy in that way, but you won't look the way that you do forever. It's fleeting. The reason this woman's life is to be praised, and when you look at her life, and listen, how many ladies in this room, if you've heard Proverbs 31, it's always used to be, look, this is how we're supposed to live. Why? She would say that her resource, her main resource, comes from the source of Christ. All these things that she does, all these things, her gifting, her ability to understand how to make money and take care of family, this is her life that's a life of character, but her life of character comes because she fears the Lord. And doesn't that go all the way back to what we talked about at the beginning of Proverbs, that the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. When we talked about fear of the Lord, it wasn't like, oh, I'm afraid of the Lord. It's a respect of the Lord, of understanding how powerful and his authority that he has. And as we follow him, we will do life his way. And if we do life his way, we'll be full of wisdom and our life will be praised. So here's what I would say to the single folks, is that notice people that praise the Lord, that fear the Lord, and live for the Lord. Notice those people. Because if they're living in that way, and you're running alongside them, it's probably going to work out. Nothing is guaranteed, right? Everyone struggles in life, but character matters. And if character comes from the fear of the Lord, it's something that you know God's going to be a part of. I think the world's trying to tell us something completely different about the way we're supposed to find each other and the kind of role models that we're supposed to have. I want to share a story with you about a person that I know. This is Miss Tennessee 1998. Her name is Amy Neely, and Amy is kind of what you would say, this is what the world is telling you your daughter should be like. You know, if you're a young girl, you know, you look at a beauty pageant winner, and you think, that's what my life should be like, right? Let me tell you Amy's story. Amy grew up in the holler of Tennessee. That is exactly like it sounds, okay? Think not even a town, like the holler. Amy grew up in a fundamentalist church in Tennessee. Fundamentalist church basically means this. It's all about rules. And if you don't keep the rules, God is really angry at you and you're out, right? So you got to be perfect, otherwise God is mad. That's how she grew up. That was her relationship with God. That's all she knew. Well, as she grew up, she was desperate to get out of the holler. So she thought, if I could become an actress, then I could have a life that's better than this and I can get out of the holler, right? So she went the beauty pageant route and started, you know, trying out for little local places and doing that little route, and she got better and better and better at it and worked really hard. And the more she worked hard at it, the better she became, the more she got affirmed in it, and that really became her identity, you know? And she was working hard, and eventually she became Miss Tennessee 1998. She hit it big, right? And on top of that, that qualified her for Miss USA. More so, two or three of the last 5 years, Tennessee has literally placed in the top three of Miss USA during that time in the 90s. So she was thinking, man, this is my ticket. Because if she hits big and she wins or places in the top two or three, she could get an agent, she could get an acting deal, and maybe become someone famous and get out of the holler. Her life was literally dependent on this one moment. But she didn't place. She fell outside of the top 10. And she was devastated. So this girl that you might look at on screen and think, well, this is what girls should be like, what she would say about her life was she was absolutely devastated and fell into depression. Here's what she had to do as the reigning Miss Tennessee, though. She had to go around to different places and talk to young kids about her platform, which was about, God and not being judgmental. So she would go around to these churches and speak. And she told me, she said, the reason I would talk about not being judgmental is because I was living a life that I didn't want anyone to judge. The way she was living life, she was basically trying to numb herself from all the depression she was feeling and the heartache. So she was doing things, whatever it took, to make it so she didn't have to feel. And then she would go around to these places and talk. Well, one day she was on a plane, and she was reading a book, like a New Age book, about how to like better your energy. And next to her was this couple who were reading a Bible together and praying. So she says to them, what are you reading? And they're like, what are you reading? And they talk back and forth. And she said, what religion are you? And they said, well, we're not really religious. We just believe in having a relationship with Jesus, and everything that's in the Bible, we just try to do. We take it very seriously. And so they had this great conversation, and they asked her for her address. So when she left and went home, they mailed her a Bible and a Jesus video. Do you guys remember the old VHS Jesus tapes? Like, they sent her one of those. Well, she didn't watch it or read her Bible, but she kept speaking at these little encounters. And one day she was at this church, and she's talking about her little shtick or her talk or whatnot. Afterwards, she leaves, and she's heading to her car, and this pastor follows her out to her car and says, Amy. Amy turns around, they talk for a minute, and she goes, Amy, you talk about God, but you don't seem to talk about Jesus at all. He said, do you know who Jesus is? And she said, I don't think I do. I don't know him. And he said, you need to know who Jesus is. So she went home. In the midst of her lifestyle and everything that was going on, she put in that little Jesus video. You know what the Jesus video tells about? It tells about a God who absolutely loves us. It talks about the story of Jesus and how that even though we're sinners and that sin has broken our relationship with God because he's a holy God, Jesus came down and lived the perfect life and died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And then he rises again. After fulfilling all the righteousness, that all of the wrath was poured out and the righteousness of Jesus covers all that with the cross, God raises from the dead. And Jesus says, anyone who follows me shall have life. Anyone who calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so she got down on her knees and she gave her life to Jesus. And it changed everything. The reason I know Amy is because one of my best friends in the world married her. This is a picture of my buddy, Ed, and Amy, and then Tammy and I. I've known her for years and years and years. The Amy that was prior, I wouldn't point to and say, be like that Amy. I would say, be like this Amy, and here's why. Because she loves Jesus. I asked her yesterday, I said, Amy, what would you want to say to the folks if you were speaking? She said, I would want them to know that the way you look is just a resource. For example, she said, I tell my kids, you may be really smart, you may have a great memory, you may be pretty, you may be very athletic, but those are just resources, and they're all fleeting. Anything, let's say you have a great memory today. You may not have a great memory in the future. You may be really strong today, but you may not be very strong in the future. In the same way that everything that you're given, this is the way God made you, leverage it on behalf of God so that God may get glory out of your life. She said, everything I have in life, the jobs I've had, the way I've provided for my family, everything I have, honestly, it's been given to me by God. I said, Amy, I think that's what the Proverbs 31 woman would say. Amy's not perfect. What she would say is, God is the central piece of her life. It's her relationship with Jesus that's changed her. And I think that's what we have to see if we're going to notice great role models. Train ourselves to see those who love Jesus. And I would say to you in the room then, listen, you're a role model. You're a role model. How's your relationship with the Lord? How's that going? Just as we kind of finish up, this is what I want to say to the dads in the room. Don't look at Proverbs 31 and say, wow, my wife does like 2 out of 3 here. She needs to do the third. That's just dumb. I'm just going to say that to y'all. That's dumb. This is really about us championing character and trying to help lead our wives in ways that will help them connect to Christ, because Christ has a way of changing the character of every person we know. It's about us offering our lives to God and saying, God, change my character. Let my wife and kids pick up on what you're doing in me. to the moms in the room, I would say, listen, your kids are listening. As you follow Christ, that's the best example of what it means to them. And listen, if you're in the room and you're young and you're single, listen, dedicate yourself to knowing the Lord. As you know the Lord, watch what he does in your life. All right, so let's do this. Let's stand and let's pray together. The band's going to come up and they're going to sing one song. And before they do, I just want to have us pray. If you feel like, as I've been talking, there's something that's really been challenging you and you want some prayer for that, in the back of the room, my back left, your back right, there's going to be some people back there that would love to pray with you. So as we get ready to pray here, and you just want, it doesn't matter what it is, as this last song is being sung, just slip out of your seat and someone will pray with you. But as you're standing here and thinking, here's what I want to ask you. Where are you at with the Lord? Do you feel like your relationship with the Lord is something you've been neglecting? Maybe you're looking at your life and thinking, all right, I have some character issues. All right, that's completely normal. We all do. Really, it's about taking those things to God and offering those things to God and allowing him to meet you there. And when he meets you there, God has a way of doing the work in your life to absolutely impact your life, to change your life. It's out of those moments with God, as we continue to offer ourselves to him, that he makes us into something that really becomes a role model for others. It's not about all the stuff we produce. It's about a Christ who lives in us and through us. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do, just kind of close your eyes and pray, wherever you're at. And if you're here and you feel like, man, this was just a great reminder, then just thank God. Say, God, thank you for reminding me of things you've already taught me. And just tell him that. For some of you, you've got kids in your life and you're worried about what's going on in them and you're worried about their character. Maybe it's time just to talk to God about them and lift them up to God and say, God, help my kids recognize you. Help my kids to know you. And for those in the room that are struggling in your relationship with God, this is the beauty of the gospel. It's that Jesus loves you so much that he's always inviting you into a deeper relationship. Just talk to him right now and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for things I've done that don't look like the way I want to pass down to the next generation. And if you're here in the room, and when I talked about this idea of religion, maybe you've never actually had a relationship with Christ. I just want to offer to you right now that you absolutely can have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. You can be made right with the Father. You don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about whether or not God loves you. When you offer your life to Christ, you are made whole with him. You simply do that by saying to God, God, I am sorry that I'm a sinner. You have to acknowledge that before him. Just tell him that. God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Tell him you believe in him and you believe he sent his son to die on a cross to pay the penalty for sin. Just tell him that. God, I believe that. I believe he died, was buried, and he rose again. And because of that, you simply say to Jesus, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Please be my Savior. I offer my life to you. When you do that, you need to know it's that step of faith that makes you right with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. I'm just going to say to you right now that one of the things that Jesus has said through his scripture is that if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you don't acknowledge me before men, I can't acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So I'm just going to ask that if that's you and you just prayed that prayer and you meant that, I'm just going to ask that you acknowledge that before me. I'm the only one looking. Everyone else's head is down and eyes are closed. The only thing I'm going to ask of you is acknowledge that just by raising your hand. Thank you. Anyone else in the room, if that's you, just raise your hand up and say, yes. Yes, I see you in the back. Anyone else? Yes, I see you. I see you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for being a God that cares about us, that loves us, that you look at our character and you think, I love you anyway. That is a true dad. Thank you, Father. God, you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. Thank you so much for that. You set the example. You are the role model. God, help us to live selfless lives. Lord, by your power, I pray that you help us to live lives that become role models for others, that you can use, God, to help people to know you. God, for all of us who are struggling with character issues, I pray you would meet us there in those moments. Help us to take a step towards you every day. Lord, you change us, please. Lord, for those in the room who are taking first steps, Lord, I pray you meet them right where they're at. Help them to know what it means to have a relationship with you. Help them to know that they are saved and they are now made right, that your blood has washed away their sin. God, help them take these steps to grow in their faith. We ask this all in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this last song together.